This is Dr. Cassieri with Andersonville Baptist Seminary as we continue our study in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as we begin lesson number 6. We're going to pick up where we left off in lesson number 5, and we've been looking at the emblems of the Holy Spirit, and we want to look at fire now. Fire as an emblem of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse number 29, the Bible tells us, it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Our God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 36 says, "Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee upon earth, and he showed you thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire." Fire has several attributes that amplify the work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, number one, fire shows the presence of the Lord. Look with me in Exodus chapter 3, the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 2. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." And of course, it's talking about Moses there, amen. So we see then that fire shows the presence of the Lord. Number two, we want to see that fire gives light. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, the Bible tells us, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night." So we see then there in the wilderness the presence of the Lord were with the children of Israel in a pillar of fire by night. Amen. Look at in 1 John, the first epistle of John with me. In the first epistle of John, chapter number 1, verse 5. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness." There is light in the presence of God, and the Holy Spirit gives spiritual light to reveal spiritual truths. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." The first time God speaks to Moses, he speaks from the burning bush and reveals his will. We see the Spirit of God giving light for the nation of Israel in the wilderness by a pillar of fire. The first time the Holy Spirit is given to believers in fulfillment of the Lord's promises, he gives evidence of his presence by fire. And we see that in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 2. And of course in Acts chapter 2 we have the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 3, the word of God says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." And of course, that was the Holy Spirit. So we see then, fire shows the presence of the Lord, fire gives light, fire affords protection. Fire affords protection. We just saw that in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, where the Lord would be a pillar of fire by night to lead the children of Israel, to protect them. The pillar of fire was a fearsome sight to the enemies of Israel. In the circle of its light, they were safe in his presence. So we see that the fire also affords protection. Also, we want to see the fire. Also, we see in fire, we see the approval of the Lord. The approval of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 9 with me, please. Leviticus chapter 9. And in Leviticus chapter number 9, we want to look at verse number 24. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." In other words, the Lord accepted the sacrifice. Amen. God sent fire to show his approval of sacrifice, or of man, of God, many times. And in fact, in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah says, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." Of course, it's found in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verses 24 and 38. In like manner, in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, God showed his approval of those 120 believers who gathered in one accord and waited for the Comforter, that Holy Spirit of promise. We read that the appearance was like as fire, amen, in Acts 2, 3. So we see then that fire shows the approval of the Lord, as we see that the sacrifice was accepted, and we see the approval of the Lord at the day of Pentecost as the appearance of the Holy Spirit was like as a fire. Amen. Another thing about fire, as we're looking as fire as an emblem of the Holy Spirit, fire shows the purifying from the Lord. Let's read in Isaiah for a moment. The prophet Isaiah, chapter number 6. Let's look at the first 8 verses with me. We'll read down there together. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And we see there that the coal from off the altar was taken to purify the lips of Isaiah, amen. Oh, for the fire from the altar of God that would give his servants clean lips and a holy tongue like Isaiah to speak for him. We all need that cleansing from the fire from off the altar, do we not? We still need today the fire of God to make our lives pure for his service. The Holy Spirit sometimes brings us through fiery trials for the purpose to purify us, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. In this manner, the three Hebrew children passed through a fiery trial. We read in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And that's a great promise, my dear friend, in the Word of God. When you and I go through the fiery furnace of trials, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be there with us. He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul also tells us about the fire of God that will purify the believer's works at the judgment seat of Christ. The works of the flesh shall be burned up and nothing will be left but our true reward. It is as the refiner's fire that separates the dross or the impurities from the pure gold. When the refiner can see his own reflection in it, he knows it is pure and perfected. The Laodicean church is especially counseled to buy gold or faith tried in fire. And we see this in Revelation 3, verse 18, and also another reference to our faith being as gold tried in a fire can be found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. In the old days, before modern antibiotics were invented, a hot-burning iron would often be thrust into a wound to cleanse it of infection and seal it against further contamination. So we see there that fire shows the purifying of the Lord. Lastly, we want to see that fire shows the judgment of the Lord. And we began this looking at fire as a emblem of the Holy Spirit by looking again at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. The Bible tells us, For our God is a consuming fire. We want to talk a little bit about the destruction of the wicked. Genesis 19 verse 24 gives us the unforgettable account of the destruction of two entire cities. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Then we read about, amen, the point of no return in Revelations chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. If a person finds himself at this point, it's a point of no return. In Revelations 20, verses 14 and 15 tells of the final punishment of the wicked. And in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. It's going to be too late. You're not going to be able to go back. You're not going to have another chance. Amen. If someone's not saved, they need to be saved today. Amen. While these are the six emblems of the Holy Spirit, and we've looked at them, the six emblems of the Holy Spirit, we've been looking at them in our lesson, amen. And we've seen the emblems, the six emblems of the Holy Spirit, the dove, water, oil, a seal, wind, and fire. We've seen those. While these are the six emblems of the Holy Spirit seen throughout the Scriptures, there are still other types of the Spirit found in the Bible. And how we can fail to mention that wonderful type of the Spirit found in Abraham's servant Eleazar. And of course we see the servant Eleazar in Genesis 24. And evangelist James Stewart writes, "In the person of the steward who had charge of Abraham's goods, we have the most perfect picture of the Spirit's ministry. We read that Eleazar had charge of all Abraham's property and managed all his estate. And this is what the Scriptures teach concerning the blessed Spirit. He is sent to administer the estate of Christ to the redeemed ones. The Holy Spirit is seeking a bride for the Father's Son. Like Eleazar, he keeps himself in the background and speaks of the glories of Christ, and thus he woos and wins lost sinners to the Savior. Then his business is to conduct them home to glory, to be received by their Isaac, a picture or type of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a theme of conversation over the desert was about Isaac. That's what Eleazar talked to Rebekah about. Isaac, picture again, a type of Jesus Christ, the glorious Son of the Father. So the Spirit's theme to us is Christ. Now we want to turn our attention as we continue to work our way down our outline. We're turning now to point number Roman numeral 6. We're going to be looking now at the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. And first of all, we want to see the work of the Holy Spirit concerning the creation. Concerning the creation. Now, the time of the Spirit's work in creation. The original creation of the universe was uniquely performed at an unknown time in the past, in Genesis 1:1. But the Holy Spirit will recreate the universe after the great white throne judgment. And we have 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 13, and Revelations chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, that talk about the recreation of the universe after the great white throne judgment. Proofs of the Spirit's work in creation. According to David, the Father created all things. We read in Psalm number 19. The Bible tells us in Psalm number 19 and verse number 1, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. However, in the Gospel of John, John declares that the Son created the universe, created all things. Look at it in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And of course, it's talking about the Word or the Son, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, in other passages, the Holy Spirit is said to have carried out the will of God in the act of creation. So we ask the question then, what are we to believe? The answer is, of course, that all three persons in the Trinity had a part. Let me give you a little bit of illustration. As an illustration, let us consider an important executive who determines to build a spacious and expensive home. He thus employs an architect to design the necessary plans for this house. The architect thereupon secures a competent contractor to follow his blueprints. In this illustration, the executive is the Father, the architect the Son, and the contractor is the Holy Spirit. The following verses then refer to the work of this divine contractor. In Psalm 104, verse 30, the Bible tells us, "Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth." In Job chapter 23, verse 13, "By his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent." We read in Job chapter 33, verse number 4, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." And then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible tells us, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." These verses we've just looked at again show us clearly the work of the Holy Spirit in creation. The Father directed it to be done. The Son, he made up the design or the blueprints, amen. And the Holy Spirit carried it out. Next, we want to look at, again, look concerning the creation. We want to look at the particulars of the Spirit's work in creation. First of all, life. 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 This is the basic work of the Spirit in many areas, including that of creation. Let's look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse number 63. Notice what it says in the Bible. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Quickeneth means made alive or give life to. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And of course, this is Jesus in the context speaking, amen, to the disciples. And then Paul has something very interesting to say in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse number 6, we read, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Holy Spirit, He gives life to the creation. We just read in Psalm 104, verse 30, "Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, they are created, Thou renewest the face of the earth." The Holy Spirit renews the face of the earth, amen. Brings life to it. Job chapter 33, verse 4 again, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." The Holy Spirit brings life in the creation. How about order? The creation is one of order. We know that God is not the author of confusion. He likes everything done decently in order. The creation is one of order. This is seen in the waters, the heavens, in the earth. Look at with me in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, prophet Isaiah, in verses 12 and 13, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him?" And of course, what's interesting in verse 12 of Isaiah 40, we see measurement, order. And then connected with that, and in connection with that, we see the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, gives order to creation. We also see order, and particularly in the orderly process in the heavens. Looking in Job chapter 26. Oftentimes when we read the book of Job, we think of, you know, the example of his suffering and his patience and so forth. But Job, chronologically, is the oldest book in the Bible, and it has a lot to say about creation, or about the creation, amen. Job chapter 26, beginning in verse 7. "He stretcheth out the north over the empty space, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He has compassed the waters with bounds, until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand has formed the crooked serpent." And again we see then that the Spirit is involved with order in the creation. Also, we see the Spirit is involved in adornment. It's the Spirit's particular work to adorn the creation to the glory of God. We just read in Job 26:13, "By his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens." We also read in Psalm chapter 33, in verse number 6, Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. A lot of times the breath is connected with the spirit. Amen. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And then finally we see, as we're looking at the particulars of the Spirit's work in creation, preservation. Although it is Christ who is usually associated with the preservation of the universe, this can be seen in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, there is at least one reference to the Holy Spirit's part in this work. Turn to Psalm 104. Psalm 104 in verses 29 to 30 speaks not only of the Spirit's part in creating, but also his work in renewing, preserving. Psalm 104. Psalm 104 verses 29 and 30, we read. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. So again, we've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. Roman numeral 6, concerning the creation. We've looked at the time of the Spirit's work in creation, the proof of the Spirit's work in creation, what are we to believe, and then we've looked at the particulars of the Spirit's work in creation, life, order, adornment, and preservation. Now we want to look at point number B under the work of the Holy Spirit, concerning the Scriptures. Let's see what it has to say about that. Regarding the Holy Spirit's ministry concerning the Scriptures, Dr. Peter S. Ruckman says the following: the Holy Spirit's job is not only to inspire the original autographs, but to preserve the infallibility and the authority of that text so that a believer in any age would have access to the words of God. He continues and says, even while the New Testament scriptures were still being written, men began to try to twist their meaning and change them to suit their own purposes. Paul made it clear that many were corrupting the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible tells us, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Nonetheless, the Holy Spirit has preserved the Word of God. And we see this, Dr. Ruckman says, in Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Dr. Ruckman continues, and says, despite Satan's attempt to destroy God's word, the Holy Spirit has preserved the scriptures from those who would be used by Satan to corrupt them. By the grace of God, we still have the pure word of God without error. And I agree with Dr. Ruckman's statement. The next statement, I would never hesitate to take my King James Bible in my hand and declare that I hold and preach the inspired word of God. The Holy Spirit not only inspired the original autographs, but the scriptures which we have in our hands, a King James 1611 authorized version of the Bible. And by the way, the term scripture in the Bible is never a reference to the original manuscripts. We continue now. The primary purpose for the writing of the scripture, according to the Holy Spirit who wrote the scripture, was doctrine. That's the primary purpose for writing the scripture, doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. Paul told Timothy to labor in doctrine, that an elder who labored in doctrine was worthy of double honor. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. He also said that Timothy could save his own ministry and save the testimony of the people who heard him if he spent time and gave attention to doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. So we see that sound doctrine is the absolute essential quality in the last day in the Laodicean church, and it is the last thing the modern Laodicean Christian wants to fool with, because it is divisive and controversial. Now let's look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures, and we want to look at some things with that. The Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures according to David. According to David. Let's look in 2 Samuel with me. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. Second Samuel, chapter 23, verse number 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Also, we see the Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures according to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59, please. Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon them, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. We see also, according to Jeremiah, that the Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures. Look at in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Also, we see that the Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Also according to John in John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Also according to Peter, look at in Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 with me. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then we see also, according to Paul, the apostle, that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures. Look at in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see then that the Holy Spirit clearly, by the testimony of David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jesus, John, Peter, and Paul, the Holy Spirit is truly the author of the Scriptures. Just think about that just for a moment as we close out this lesson. We have one last point about the Holy Spirit and concerning the Scriptures, and we'll cover that and finish that out in lesson number 7. But just think of that. As a born-again child of God, you have the author of the Holy Bible dwelling inside of you as a believer right now. What a blessing. My dear friend, you have the author. We've read many other books, I suppose, and would have been nice to have the author there and question them about what was written, but my dear friend, you have the author right there with you right now. Are there some questions that you need? Maybe there's something that you don't understand. Sometimes all it takes is to get down on your knees and ask. Ask for wisdom from above. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what God is trying to show you in His Word. Truly, what a blessing that we do have, the indwelling Holy Spirit, which we'll see in future lessons in the Old Testament. They didn't have a permanent indwelling Holy Spirit all the time. We have that. What a blessing. And what a blessing to have God's full written revelation from Genesis to Revelation in one book. That concludes lesson number 6.